snap back, no pressure, throws it underneath to Neighbors, and a terrific tackle by Overshown. Has him right now at about the 30.
A very nice night for DeMarvion, Mazi Smith, and Mike Zimmer as they shut down the New York Giants rushing offense, hold them to 1.1 yard a carry, 26 yards total, and the Cowboys get the win in Jersey 20-15. This is a Cowboys Friday and the Fan Replay brought to you by Ciroc Vodka here with Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. The way to hit us up, 877-881-1053. But yesterday, Choppy found some explosive audio, and I'm kind of hoping Kevin Hagelin has been doing a great job. KNC, really, both of them, the guys who actually asked the questions and participate in the interviews of asking Jerry Jones really tough questions. I kind of hope they don't do this today so we can do it on Tuesday. I want to ask Jerry if he's frugal when it comes to paying coaches. If he's cheap when it comes to paying a staff. Because we've heard whispers of this. And yesterday, Rex Ryan on ESPN New York says that he was ready to be the Cowboys' D coordinator. We all remember the story from the offseason. Mm-hmm. Rex explaining why it didn't happen.
Could you fix the Cowboys' defense right now, or is it unfixable?
No, 100%. I would have fixed it in a New York minute. But they couldn't pony up the money. That was why I stayed, you know, here.
Our producer is a huge Cowboys fan. The fact that he says, you say they couldn't pony up the money, he's going to go put his head in the toilet at the next commercial break.
No, but it's true. And you brought in a guy that was like 29th in the league his last 2 years at Minnesota. And the enthusiasm he brings, you saw when he left, he blamed the players and I'm not going to talk to him. You know, that's the guy that's going to inspire you. Like, I don't know. This could go really bad for Dallas. Now, look, their schedule sets up pretty well for him, but this could go really bad for him.
Well, maybe Rex shouldn't be paid and brought in here because the schedule does not set up well for them. I don't know what he's talking about.
He means like after the San Fran game, Houston, there's a little bit of a lull.
After the 6 weeks coming up?
Yeah.
People don't refer to the schedule like that. No. They don't go, you know what, 7 weeks from now it sets up well. No, I've never heard anyone do that. But there's Rex saying that Jerry, like, number one, if the money was right, was Rex Ryan your first choice? And number two, there's been whispers. You look at what McCarthy has paid. You heard people say, Jerry's never going to pay Sean Payton a salary to come here. Jerry's not going to pay Bill Belichick $20 million. That's not happening. We had heard the Zimmer deal got hung up because of money. This is something that you hear more and more of, Jerry being frugal when it comes to that. Mike McCarthy was going to coach here this year no matter what, even though many felt he didn't deserve to return because Jerry wasn't going to pay him not to work. That is a humongous, humongous problem and issue, if true.
It is.
Huge, especially at Jerry's age. Especially at Jerry's age.
Oh, because he's desperate to win at this age?
Yeah.
And what's he hanging on to money for at 80-something years old? Yeah, I mean, look, this has always been, you know, going back years, I mean, there was a time, I mean, Parcells had to, like, beg him to pony up money to sign a kicker. Jerry didn't want to pay kickers. Remember that, Bobby? He didn't want to pay kickers. And they had to pony up money to pay Vanderjagt, and that was a disaster. That didn't work. And Jerry was like, well, see? But this does show that he is very loath to pay coaches top dollar. He doesn't mind paying the players. But he's very loath to pay coaches top dollar, and this is also why I believe that he doesn't fire them with time left in their contract because he's not going to pay them to do nothing.
Now, I do have to recite an interview with KNC. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong, and Corey is our top coworker Tolo in the building, so he's probably listening. Wasn't Jerry paying the most people, before we call him cheap and frugal with staff, wasn't he paying the most coaches to be on a sideline of anyone in the NFL like 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah, he was, but
he has to be given credit for that.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter if you pay, salary, I guess, what salary.
Well, it doesn't matter if you pay one. It doesn't matter if you pay 120 or and the rest costs five or the whole staff costs 25. He's still paying 25 million. I'm throwing out a random number. Is he paying the most salary or paying the most coaches of any sideline staff in the league.
They had the most coaches in the NFL at one point. I think it was 27 or something, which is the most by far. But
that may not have added up to...
But it also could have... Like, do teams view it as, like, does Jerry view it as, I don't have a head coaching budget that I set aside, and then a coordinator and an assistant coach budget. He may look at it as, I have a coaching staff budget. And so my head coach, and then I want all the support staff here because I want to do this. Maybe that comes out too similar to what it is around the league. The problem is that this is not readily available information, like head coaching salaries, coaching staff salaries. It's not easily available. And so a lot of it is just speculation and rumors and things like that.
Play Rex one more time, because there's something else in here that rattled me. I really wish I never met Mike Zimmer on the beach. I really do. This is why I don't like, none of us are close. Don't get that twisted. But even having any type of relationship with these people that you cover, it can mess with your head a little bit. And Rex said something in here that rattled me that I may hate to agree with.
Could you fix the Cowboys defense right now, or is it unfixable?
No, 100%. I would have fixed it in a New York minute. But they couldn't pony up the money. That was why I stayed, here.
Our producer is a huge Cowboys fan. The fact that he says, you say they couldn't pony up the money, he's going to go put his head in the toilet at the next commercial break.
No, but it's true. And you brought in a guy that was like 29th in the league his last 2 years at Minnesota. And the enthusiasm he brings, you saw when he left, he blamed the players and I'm not going to talk to him. That's a guy that's going to inspire you. Like, I don't know. This could go really bad for Dallas.
Stop it right there, because he was stupid about the schedule. But what he said there, RJ, about that article we brought up, about the enthusiasm and what he said about the blame and just walking out, that kind of rattled me a little bit, because that, I feel like that's a good point. Like, this guy's going to inspire when he's in there going, I'm not going to. Now, look, Mike Zimmer has a hell of a great long track record in the National Football League. That's part of the reason why I wanted him here so badly. But there were some bad looks with that Viking interview in recapping him leaving there. And, he almost choked out Cousins, punched him out on the sidelines. He, I think, was unfair and over the line with Kellen Mond with what he did.
Yep.
So then you just got to think of that coaching your players now, right, day in and day out.
I like Rex. I think Rex would have been a better choice. I think that they were still kind of scarred by Rob. And I wonder how much that played into it. I wonder if it did it. Because Rob...
You want a battle royale, by the way, get the Zimmers and the Ryans in a ring.
Oh, yeah.
Holy
absolutely.
Mackerel.
Yeah, because Rob is like the oddball of the family. He can barely control his own life. And Rex seems more with it, more buttoned up.
Does he?
I mean, he's still got that Ryan and bravado, but you
buttoned
can't argue.
No shoes on.
You can't argue that Rex is an elite defensive coach.
Yeah, stud resume as a decoy.
I mean, Rex finished inside of the top 10 in points allowed when he was orchestrating defenses 4 out of his 12 years in the NFL. He was in the bottom 10 of the NFL more frequently than he was inside the top 10.
Was he?
Yeah, and it was a Baltimore team where you had a consistent run there of like coordinators who were walking in and having success, because it felt like the pieces were kind of in place and
those
structures in
place.
But
those Jets defense were tremendous.
Sure, I know, but that was like...
You can make an argument that I think it was the first Jets... you can make an argument it's one of the best defenses the last 25 years.
Yeah, it's a great defense. But if you're talking about who has a more consistent track record of producing defenses that are like top 10 units, it absolutely is actually Zimmer. Like, consistently over the course of their career.
You can have him. I'll tell you this. You give Rex 2 really good corners... like he had with the Jets with Cromartie and Revis, and he will create, and like they have here with Diggs and Bland, and they will create a monster defense.
Why is it?
I'll take him over Mike any day.
Why is it that Rex Ryan and Tony Romo have been employed by an NFL team? Like, it's been the same amount of time since either of them have been employed by an NFL team, and like nobody's been banging down the door for Rex Ryan for 8 years.
Romo?
Yeah. Romo's last year playing was Rex Ryan's last year in the NFL.
I think Rex wanted to be a head coach, and he's not a head coach.
Hang on, I don't understand the Romo relevance.
I'm trying to say that, like, as a frame of reference, it's been forever since, like, Romo played. That's the last time you saw Rex Ryan on a football field, when Romo was still out here playing football.
Okay.
That was the last time it happened. Nobody has been banging down Rex Ryan's door for 8 years.
Oh, okay.
And there's a reason for that.
I think he wanted to be a head coach, and he wasn't going to take DC stuff.
He's a liar, though, in this particular instance of he was – this was not an issue of like, they couldn't pony up the money. So I said, you were never their first choice. You were never the choice.
What's the problem?
Bart Scott.
Tell that to the other 32 teams over the last 8 years.
Again, he hasn't been trying to get a DC job. He wants a head coach job. Now he wants a DC job.
Can you cite any of it?
Yeah, because head coaches don't generally say, hey, you know, I've been fired as a head coach. Let me go be a DC.
That just seems like an easy way to fall back and explain why he's not been sought after for 8 years.
Bart Scott on the DA pod roasting Mike McCarthy for hiring Mike Zimmer instead.
Rex came off his high horse and was like, yo, I want to get back in the league so bad, I'll be a DC. And McCarthy, I believe, was intimidated by the fact that having a personality like Rex around. And I felt like he went with Zimmer because Zimmer was there before and he seems non-threatening. See, when you're dealing with a Ryan, it's hard to deal with. And if you ever listen to what's been going on, Rex been putting subtle shots in every pregame. Like, oh, this deep. Because I believe Rex took it personal. And could you imagine giving a guy like Rex Ryan two lockdown corners and two legitimate pass rushers? Dallas wouldn't be in this situation.
So there's Bart Scott, who is obviously a Rex guy.
He obviously is. He says it there. He came up his high horse. He wanted, you know, now he doesn't want to be a head coach anymore. But Rex does the one thing. When he has those two corners, he does the one thing that is kryptonite for any quarterback. And that is, he is able to find ways to get home in four. Those are the four words that you want to hear. Get home in four. And that's what he did with the Jets. And that's what you want.
877-881-1053. The Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line to hit us up here on DFW Sports Station. The Cowboys with a 20-15 win in Jersey over the sorry New York Giants. Below the Belt is coming up at 8:40, but it is the end of the Oakland Athletics. The Texas Rangers were there for it. Let's relive what happened yesterday. And do the Longhorns have a quarterback yet? That's next on The Fan.
1-2 the count, 3-2 Oakland the score. Miller ready to go. Into the windup. And the 1-2 to Jankowski. Swung on and a ground ball hit to third. Gloved by Schumann. Throws to first. He got him and the ball game's over. As is the baseball history at the Oakland Alameda Coliseum. 3-2, the A's win the final game here.
Good for them to go out with a win. How interested were you in this to see the atmosphere? I tuned in because I wanted to see if any type of craziness would take place with the final game there for the Oakland Athletics as they get the W yesterday over the Rangers. And you're a history guy.
I'm a history guy. Yeah, it was cool to see. I thought Bally did a good job of, because I didn't care about the game. You know, to me, you care a little bit about, you know, being able to see some of the young guys play. But I wanted to, most of it was like, I needed to see a lot of the stadium, a lot of shots of the fans, which I think the Oakland fans are some of the most overrated. Oh, there's great baseball. You got to save baseball in Oakland. They never show up. I don't care how good the team is. They never show up. But there's a lot of history there. There's a lot of history there. Some of the best uniforms in sports are the A's. Kelly Green or whatever the hell it is.
Rocker and Leiter did pitch yesterday, though.
Yep.
We do have to talk about Kumar Rocker anytime he's out there. 4 2/3, 7 hits, 3 earned, 2 strikeouts. The ERA is now at a 3.86. Jack Leiter, 3 1/3, 2 hits, no runs, 3 walks. His ERA is at an 8.83.
This is Moneyball, huh? This Moneyball music.
Yeah, I was sitting there trying to go, what is this? Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. It's Moneyball. That makes sense. Good pull, Peyton.
Good pull.
Speaking of Moneyball, last 20 years of Athletics 40-man payroll rankings, 30th, 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 24th, 26th, 26th, 28th, 28th, 27, 26, 23, 27.
Ooh, 23.
30, 23rd, 26, 27, 18, 19.
18? 19. Oh, no look way. At that. No they, got way. Into the, they got out of the bottom third wow. the last couple years.
That was from 05 to 07, 18, 19, 20.
And I'll tell you, they did a lot of winning for that. For that payroll, they did a lot of winning. I mean, since...
Oh, would you blame the fans for not showing up for that?
Well, I blame the fans when they win 93 games in 2006 and they finished 12 out of 14 in the American League. I blame the fans when they win 94 games in 2012 and they finished 12 out of 14. I blame the fans when they win 96 games in 2013, they finished 9 out of 15 in the American League. Or when they go 94-93 wins and they finish 12th and 14th out of 15 in the American League.
For attendance.
But like,
I blame the fans.
This is the nuance that this discussion about Oakland fans requires, I think, when people talk about them. Because people will say they don't show up, they're awful, this and that. And then there's another side that says, no, those are great fans and that sort of thing. Can you judge the quality of the fans based on like how big the committed fan base is? Because I think it's a small committed fan base, but I think that committed fan base are genuine great baseball fans who have been through a lot of hell. So I think their actual fan base is good. It's just not very big. It's a bunch of disinterest.
It's like, I could see that. It's a small, rabid fan base. And maybe that is more suited for a smaller stadium.
What's going on with the Ohtani ball?
Sean.
Oh. Does he want it back for his dog or something?
When it comes to future.
Chew toy.
In 20 years from now, if we ever face if we're in a real war, facing like an army, and we lose, I want you to point to Max Mattis.
Sounds like a cool name.
Sounds like a very cool name.
Superhero name.
Max is one of those, kind of cool new names. He's an 18-year-old kid who caught Shohei Ohtani's 50-50 home run ball, only he didn't catch it. He is now lawyering up. He was in the area. There was tons of people going for the ball. Only one person could emerge from it. Who emerges from this generally? The most fit, strongest alpha male. And what do the beta males do? They call dad and lawyer up. And that's what Max is doing. He is suing the right and saying he is the rightful owner because he had hands on it too. It touched him in some way. He said he had half of his hand on the ball and somebody else had half of his hand on the ball. And you know who emerged from that? The guy who sat in class squeezing that whatever that strength trainer is for your...
Oh, yeah, the little grip strength thing.
And you know what Max was squeezing? Not the grip strength thing, okay? Because that's who emerges with the baseball. This is battle conditions here. And I'm sorry, Max. You know, this is not an everybody's a winner climate. You can't sit here and say, no, my hand was on the ball. It was wrestled away from me. Yeah, it was wrestled away from you by a stronger, fitter, more masculine individual.
So this is the case. He wants a possession arrow. He wants a possession arrow call. It says, like, I had it tied up.
Absolutely.
It should be mine.
He wants a participation award, and that's what happens here. All right? You know, when you're down in the scrum, you get punched, shanked, eye gouged. Everything happens down there.
Yeah.
So, you know, in life...
My guy Ken Golden, Golden Auctions, the show that I'm telling you guys to watch on Netflix, he got the ball. So they're going to open up the auction, I think, starting today.
Yeah.
Also starting today.
Or you can just buy it for $4.5 million.
Oh, you can?
So it goes to auction. Oh, sorry, whatever number. Or you could buy it outright right now before the auction starts at $4.5 million.
Hmm. Fox 4 says 2 million people expected to attend the fair.
Oh, baby.
Starting today. Oh, my God. My drive home is going to suck. Peyton, it's going to suck for us, right?
It's going to be bad. Really bad.
Yeah. I'm going to have to dodge 30. Dodge 30 any which way I can.
Back roads. GPS. Yes. Trick it up a little bit for you.
Yes. Have you guys decided what day you're going out there?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no, what?
I haven't decided yet.
That was a response like you're not going.
Oh, no. We'll probably go. We thought about going last year. We just never made it out. But, we'll probably get out there. But we will not go early on. We want to wait. I assume early on is the early rush and that the crowds disperse as you get into October.
Well, depends if you want to go on a weekday. Pepe, are you going?
I've never gone during the week, but this year I am. I'm going to pick like a Monday or Tuesday or something and, you know, me and Mackenzie will go up there then.
Like a fair girl?
No, but like she likes the atmosphere. She likes trying, you know, weird foods like that, you know, whatever. Likes the
Ferris wheel. She's adventurous with food, old chicken nugget.
The fried Oreos and the turkey leg she likes. So
yeah, weird food, just like, you know, sweets dipped in batter. Right. Like yeah, that's really exotic. We're gonna go at some point. I don't know when we're targeting for yet. Kristen's trying to weigh right now. Do we go on the weekend and deal with just the absurd, stupid crowds? Or does she take him out of school for a half day or something? And so that's the measure. Because I'm get off at 10, we can roll right in. It's not a problem. But it's more the question of, does she want to take one of these parent days, which are pretty limited?
Well, you got the weather early mornings for it. Like, mm-hmm. It's this morning, dare I say, crisp. It was a little bit nice. Crisp.
Very
I liked
nice.
It.
Very, very nice.
Do the Texas Longhorns have a quarterback?
Well, they not officially. They do not have one named as of yet. He is not named a starter. Sark has not named a starter. And they're saying they're unsure for the SEC debut that they will play Mississippi State. And it's going to be Arch.
It's going to be Arch. I don't think you're trying to risk anything potentially with Quinn Ewers in terms of aggravating that or making it worse. Not for Mississippi State. Like, the only thing that you would maybe have a little bit of fight with Ewers on, I would imagine, is the idea of, like, I can't not be out there for our first SEC game. But, I mean, Mississippi State is not very good, and that's something that Arch, I think, can handle. Make sure you're rested up. Get yourself ready for Georgia coming up.
Because Georgia's the following week, right? No, Georgia's in a couple weeks.
They got a couple weeks away from Georgia.
But either way, what you don't want is you don't want him to come back too soon, get hurt. Like Bobby said, you don't need them. They just lost to Florida. Badly.
Yeah.
So they don't need Arch to play. I'm sorry, they don't need Quinn to play right now.
All right, to get you ready for traveling this weekend or myself for next weekend when I go to Nashville for the very first time.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. We have legroom and seat reclining for airplane issues.
Okay, so
Delta underwear.
let's do the Southwest. We did the seat reclining on the day you were out.
Right? I mean, Hagee had brought it up, didn't he?
Oh yeah, Hagelin brought it up. That's right.
I'm so tired of you seat recline haters. I really am. That's my lone stance. That's my lone wolf stance. Oh my God, the 2 inches it moves back. It's just like it's invading in your space that I'm allowed to with the hundreds and hundreds of dollars I paid for my ticket. My 3-inch recline, you guys act like I'm on a freaking country club layout.
Well,
get out of here.
This story was the way the seat reclined, there's a TV screen, the guy couldn't see the TV.
The seat was broken.
What do you mean?
There's no far enough recline to where it would mess up the angle of the no airplane seat goes back that far to where the television would not be able to be seen by the person in the back.
That's what they say. It may have been a glare. I don't know. Whatever. Okay. It may have been a glare. So they said the seat he couldn't see, and they had asked the flight attendant. She asked, "Hey, he can't see?" And she's like, "No, too bad." So this is Southwest though. So of course
let me ask you guys a follow up. How do you approach sitting in back when you're sitting in back, in the second row of a car? How do you guys approach the person in front of you with their seat? What is the rule compared to like the airplane recline of the seat move back? What is the expectation? What are you entitled to or not entitled to in that back row?
Oh, let's see. The expectation is that
deference to the person in the back seat.
Yeah. So the person,
deference of the person in the back seat.
Person in the front, move all the way forward.
Because you've got a flat like spot like that. The person who moves forward, they can put their feet under the dash and extend out.
Okay. Yeah. Pepe, you feel the same way?
I think so, yeah. I mean the back seat, if I get, a little crane back there, I'm not telling the guy in front of me, hey, can you move up your seat a little bit?
No, they're saying that. They're saying that the person driving should move all the way up.
Driving should be, ooh.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Passenger seat, move up.
No, I think the driver should be, as comfortable as they
can. Oh, so I was thinking driver,
I don't have a problem.
I was thinking more passenger seat, front seat. But driver, to me, it's just
say you're sitting in back of the,
anywhere you can comfortably reach the pedal, like however your normal spot is in terms of comfortably reaching the pedals. Now, if you're one of these,
a lot of people's normal spot is the way back.
Then you can move up. You can move up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's deference. It's the back seat to me is like middle seat on an airplane. Middle seat on an airplane gets both armrests.
Okay. All right.
They get full armrest. So Southwest though, they have a new premium seating policy that's going to be rolled out here. And this of course is new for them because they've just been a cattle call, right? Just hey, everybody come on board. Well they're going to do this new premium seating. It's going to start going on sale next year. It's going to debut in 2026. But in order to do this, because those premium seats, Sean, that are assigned are going to have more legroom, which means everybody else who does not pay extra for this premium seating is going to have reduced legroom than what they currently have on the Southwest flight.
And how much legroom am I getting for the off charge? What am I getting for this?
You're going to get, so like on American, I think you get for the that extra You get like 4 to 6 inches depending on the plane.
Corey says driver doesn't move. That's Corey Majors weighing in right there with his opinion and take. All right.
So you would get like, they say the new extra legroom seats will boast at least 5 inches of extra pitch. Whereas, so now you will get 36 to 38 inches versus 30 to 31.
Jeez. Take a whole 36 to 38?
Yeah.
Wow. No.
Easy diddy.
How much would you pay for 5 extra inches, Chop?
I guess my joke just went out.
$43.
There's old Bobby having to get his laughs in. Like, everyone laugh at Bobby, not me.
Sean, you're crazy.
What still is not fixed after last night's Cowboy win? Next in B-Lo.
B-Belt.
Him having his own segment, I guess, is not enough right here on the fan. The great Bobby Belt.
I just want to say, yo, Bobby.
Yeah, I know.
You going to make it to work on time this week?
Yeah.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Hand off to Singletary. He's going to be thrown for a loss. Wow. Mazi Smith at the point of attack drove him back.
What's still broken about the Dallas Cowboys after that victory last night against the New York Giants? More on that in just a second. First, I'm going to follow through on a promise. How I said I can nickname the Cowboys players better than Dak Prescott did. Big fan of Dak Prescott. I don't want him nicknaming players. I don't like the three that he's come up with so far. Kalen Carson, he's calling him Seatbelt. Hunter Lipke is Fiasco, apparently, because Lupe Fiasco, Lipke Fiasco, which that feels like a big stretch to me. And then Brandon Aubrey is just butter. Like, he's smooth like butter. I don't know. It's just, it doesn't work for me. It's not as bad as Full Count Carter. That's the worst one that we have in the entire Metroplex. That is the worst nickname. But these are not good. So I've got a couple different ones. Kalen Carson. So he is Seatbelt to Dak Prescott. I am going to nickname him Kalen Arson because he burns down the defense.
You know, that's a good one. I'd have gone with... I think his name and nickname should be Two-Step.
Two-Step?
Because he's two steps behind everybody else.
That's pretty good, too. All right, Hunter Lipke.
Oh, this is an easy one for me.
Hit me with yours.
Laptop.
Laptop?
Why? Hunter with a laptop.
Oh, that's pretty good. Thank you. I like that. So I look at it, and whenever I see him play, he is such a utility man. He is a true, genuine football guy. And so when I think of him, like, the phrase that comes to mind with me is just like, man, I love football. And so the acronym for that, I'm going to call him MILF Hunter Lipke is his nickname.
Oh,
MILF okay. Hunter Lipke.
Yeah, because he's just a football guy. Man, I love football. And then Brandon Aubrey. Brandon Aubrey's nickname is Butter for Dak. I'm calling him the Red Scare. You know what the Red Scare is, Chop?
The Red Scare.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It was the fear of communism in the 50s, perpetrated by McCarthyism. And there's nothing more McCarthy than kicking field goals nonstop. So Brandon Aubrey is like the definition of McCarthyism.
I thought he was talking about the Falcons logo.
Yeah, the Falcons logo designed by Colonel von Stauffenberg. The Falcons logo is going to invade Poland by the end of the week. I don't know what the hell they're doing. This is another example of Sean and RJ just needing to have a PR firm.
Yes.
Because nobody can look at that new Falcons logo and think it is out of anything other than 1930s Germany. That is as bad as... It's awful, man. I mean, they went so minimalist on it. They really did. And, I mean, I don't know what I was looking at. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe... Because when I first saw the headline, I was like, man, like they're like people are killing the Falcons logo. I'm like, all right, let me take a look at this thing. No. Did you see it, Bobby?
No, I'm pulling it up right now.
You know, they post a new profile pic, and it just looks so, it's so like World War II.
Yeah, I mean, it may be a
lot. I honestly, for this one, would not have thought of that.
No, I didn't.
I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
I
wouldn't have
I got to be honest. Normally, I'm the master of public relations and PR, but this one I would not have caught. With the history.
Yeah, I don't think I would have caught that one either. Now, what did you think? Were you I think I saw you say last night, you were a fan of the uni combo that the Cowboys were rocking?
Oh, yeah, I love those uniforms.
The white helmets, I love them.
I love the white helmet. I want to see it paired up with like some of the navy a little bit more. I don't like the total like almost white out look as much, but I think the white helmet with some more navy would look really good. All right. So the Cowboys won that game last night, but it doesn't cover over all the issues that they're dealing with. They fixed a lot of different things. We talked about the run defense was better. I think the running game itself on the offensive side was improved. The offense got off to a better start. That's all good stuff. So what is still a problem? What coming out of last night do you still look at and say there was nothing that was better about that, or maybe it was even a little worse? So physicality is still a big issue for them, I think. They've got an entire secondary, it feels like, who doesn't like making contact with people. Jordan Lewis does. I will always defend Jordan Lewis, but Trayvon Diggs, not a big fan of it. Andrew Booth wasn't.
You weird for that.
Yeah. Malik Hooker, I don't know why he just refuses to wrap up tight. He throws his shoulder. I'm always convinced he's going to hurt his shoulder tackling somebody.
I had a star down for Malik had a dropped interception in the second quarter that people didn't talk enough about. He should have caught that.
Broadus was sitting here going like, how did he not? He's like, did they show a replay? He's like, how did he miss that? I thought that was in his hand.
The Donovan Wilson missed 4th and 1. That was a crucial moment. This team just does, they do nothing in the crucial moments, whether it's a penalty. If it's 1st and goal, like, just bet. If you can lie bet the Cowboys committing a penalty, back up 10 yards and shoot themselves in Brandon Aubrey's foot, do it. But that was a crucial moment in the game. It's 14-6. Midfield, Donovan Wilson, point blank, right there at Singletary. You get a stop, you get a few more yards, and it's a 2-score game with an Aubrey field goal. Just like that. Those little small things, they never capitalize on. Donovan Wilson missed. Malik Hooker missed. Go ahead.
Yeah, the physicality issue of it, it's
Diggs, he don't look like he ever wants to tackle, like you said.
They got guys who, they engage in blocks and then they can't get off of the blocks, or they'll do their best to just run around the block because they don't want to try and, you know, get into that point of attack and then try and shed
Booth was making contact with the ground because of the slip and slide out there, or him getting torched, neighbors putting it on him.
Yeah, I don't know if that was clumsy footwork or just a slick field, because yeah, he was getting absolutely worked out there in the open field and just tripping over himself. Now, this one might be connected to the physicality issue, but I think at this point you have to say the Cowboys are fundamentally just a bad tackling football team. They don't do it. The angles are bad. The form is really bad when you talk about guys like, I said, Hooker, where he's just kind of throwing himself into the... There were two different times he kind of threw his shoulder into a guy and bounced off him and they picked up more. The finish is not good. It's been a consistent problem in every game except Cleveland. Cleveland, they tackled pretty well for the most part.
They did just about everything well in that Cleveland game.
Yeah.
Look, let's just cut to the chase. We grade Dak Prescott and we go, okay, maximum B+ or that. We grade every week. We're pretty much on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
This is at most an above average football team.
Mm-hmm.
And probably average. They're average to above average. Above average is their ceiling. I feel confident in saying that.
Yeah, they would have to go on a pretty cool run in the playoffs.
Cool.
To tubular. To, like, you know, and look, and we've seen, it's wild. We've seen literally every other team in the NFC except for like Washington do this in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
But there are teams out there that aren't great.
And it's, you're right.
But
the top of the NFC is susceptible. But this team is not. What did last night change? The most interesting thing that I would listen to from what are we calling your segment now? From
below Peyton? The belt.
Oh yeah, post hut clarity.
Yeah, from you, from Broadus, Love of the Star. I would listen to how you're going to convince me that the run defense fixed and solved some things last night, even though it was against the Giants. That's it. This offense is not explosive. They're boring. They're predictable. They're always short of the chains. You're not going to convince me that Rico Dowdle in the run game is fixed. Well, what do you guys have? If you had to buy some stock from last night in the Cowboys' run game or their run defense, what would you buy more of?
Run
if you
game.
Had to. Run game?
Well, from the standpoint that the offensive line generally is still making them holes, giving them holes. They're just not hitting them. The run defense.
Based upon the numbers, the analytics.
Yeah. The run defense, I mean, they got bullied the last 2 weeks.
Well,
now, this week they did well, but how much of that is the Giants?
Yeah, I mean, I believe in certain guys. Like, I believe in Overshown to be a good run defender. That's why Baltimore was so disappointing. When he played as bad as he did against Baltimore, that was disappointing. But they were good last night. I don't know that they're going to consistently get to their spots or not get bullied. While it was good, I don't know that I can trust that. So,
like, did Zim dumb it down? Were they more...
They were seeing it quicker. The linebackers looked like they were seeing it quicker. And when Mozzie's playing the way he was on the interior, that's going to be a massive boost. That's a bigger question. Can the Cowboys be a just, you got to respect the possibility that they'll run type of running game? Can they get to that? Yeah, that I think they can be close to that or better in their run offense that they were last night. So probably the run offense is what I'd say. Now, something Zach brought up last night, we were talking about the way that they played and how they're an above average team as their absolute ceiling. Zach was sitting here and he was saying, how many teams left on their schedule do you think they beat if they play like this tonight? And I was looking down, I was trying to go through it, and I think it's probably just Carolina.
One?
Carolina, yeah. If you play that game last night that you did, you've got Pittsburgh, Detroit, San Francisco, Atlanta.
We got the Giants again.
Got the Giants again, yeah.
I think he could beat Pittsburgh. They don't scare me.
Zach is at the point where he thinks that Washington is a better football team than Dallas.
You know what? I'll say three. I'll say three more wins, splitting one with the Commanders. And that that performance last night beats the Panthers and it beats the Giants. Excuse me.
Yeah. And I think it beats Washington at home.
Yeah.
Fine. Split.
Yeah, a split against Washington. Couple other things here. Other than the opening game against Cleveland, Dallas has not gotten consistent pressure on the quarterback at all. And so last night, it's like, okay, they come in here. Let's see what they're able to do.
What do y'all grade in Micah, by the way? Micah was catching a lot of heat, but I feel like when I was watching the replays, you know, Herb Street's trying to do all the packages, I felt like he was there and he was playing real hard and they just give him a lot of attention.
He seemed really banged up early. Like when before he had the neck issue where they're like, they called him off the field. Yeah. Brian and I were talking about five plays before that or something. He was like hobbling going down the field. Like he did. I think he was just hurt. That short week was not good for him. And so
I think he's going to grade out pretty well. That's going to be my guess.
Yeah. And I
don't think he had a bad game at all.
And for me, the way that now he only had one pressure through three quarters or three and a half quarters or whatever it was. For me, I think I look at Mike and say, even with the grade, I'm probably going to grade it on a curve too and say, I think he was pretty banged up, so I'll probably grade him even better.
Though they did put out the stat, one pressure versus Andrew Thomas in 14 attempts, 1 in 14. Was Andrew Thomas the one he faced last year when he got zero sacks and pouted even after they got a win?
Yeah,
that was the Giants game.
Yeah, it was. Thomas was on there then, so he was obviously moved around the formation a couple different times, but Thomas was one of the guys he was going up against pretty consistently. And so he is somebody who Thomas is a top pick. He's one of the ones who's hitting. He's still struggling coming along a little bit. Yeah. Now, the last one here, I don't know what's happening with Brandon Cooks. There's going to have to be a real come to Jesus meeting on what are we doing here?
Come to Easterby.
Yeah, because we were in here just kicking around some stuff earlier. It's like, hey, as you look ahead of where this team is right now, what are you saying are some of the top needs for this team heading into next season? As you're just kind of evaluating where your roster's at right now, and that receiver too is probably going to be really high up there.
If anything happens to CeeDee Lamb, this team is picking top five.
We're debating, are we playing Travis Hunter on defense or offense? That's what happens if you miss CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah. Like CeeDee
Lamb. Playing him on defense if you listen to Richard Sherman.
CeeDee Lamb is everything. Like everything to just below Dak in terms of most valuable player, and only because Dak's the quarterback. That's it. It is force feed CeeDee Lamb, and that's it with a little bit of Ferg. All right, back to the Cowboys and Nick Eamon at 9:20. That was Below the Belt here on 105.3 The Fan. Who needs it more around the rest of the NFL? And let's see if Choppy can make you some pigskin money with his degenerate football picks after this. What?